When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Picture at Los Angeles, 2023.
Welcome to Out on the Lanai, the only Golden Girls podcast you're ever going to need to listen to. I am H. Allen Scott / Sadie Pines.
I'm Carrie Doherty, and today we're doing another golden compilation. We are breaking down Rose's best St. Olaf moments on the Golden Girls. But before we get into anything, H. Allen Scott / Sadie Pines, how are you? You sound
Oh my
like
God, I know I do. Actually, I was wondering if I do or not, but I
you do.
Excuse
you
me. I have the COVID. We had COVID hit a home. We're boosted.
I wish you would have shot Liz.
We're fine here. We're totally fine. But last week, Michael got the COVID, and then I tried to avoid the COVID, and then the COVID came for me. We isolated and everything, but it was inevitable. So it came for me. But I'm fine. I don't feel fine, but I am fine. And I wanted to do this because, well, for lots of reasons, but let's be honest. I jokingly told Carrie, I was like, we cannot launch a friggin' Patreon and then me be like, can we take a week off? Cause I don't feel so good.
I know. So, I mean, look at you're like all of the women in the flu attack episode right now.
I am. Yeah. I'd like to know what other electrical devices you'll use in underneath that. Yes. No, I am. I really am. But I feel fine. And I've had this before. So, you know, I get around. I'm used to it. It's old hat at this point. But no, I'm good. I got the Paxlovid. I get the drug that, you know, lessens the symptoms for people who are at high risk, because I am, because of my life. And so I feel fine. So I'm here and I'm ready. But if I sound if I'm unhinged, which is not new for this podcast, but if I go off in a tangent, or if I'm cloudy brained and like I don't finish a topic, or if you hear maybe a sneeze or a cough, please forgive me. It is only temporary.
I'll jump in if you get cloudy.
Thank you.
If you go
like
off
a Saint
rails.
Olaf story, like a Saint yeah. Olaf story.
Uh-huh. Yeah. If you go off the rails and then just straight into a ravine, I will pick you back
Thank
up
you.
And put you back on the track.
Thank you.
So before we get into our golden compilation, if you are listening to this podcast, if you haven't yet checked out our GG VIP club, we hope that you will head over to patreon.com/GoldenGirlsPodcast and check out all of the great stuff we're offering for as little as $5 a month. We launched this last week. We have gotten such great feedback.
Oh my God.
Last week. The feedback has been wonderful. Last week, we posted a bonus segment from our interview with GG producer Marsha Posner-Williams, where she spilled some serious tea on these women. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of fun comments on that one. And this week, we've got even more great stuff. Today, we dropped another Rusty Anchor Happy Hour, where we did a really fun sort of holiday gift guide for the Golden Girls fan in your life. And we also watched a few silly Christmas Target commercials that Betty White did back in 1991 that are super, super fun. And for those who are subscribed in the $8 tier in the GG VIP Club, we'll be doing our first live Golden Girls watch along this upcoming Sunday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be watching Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. So it's going to be so much fun. It's like the highlight of the holiday season for me.
Yeah.
So if you're on the fence about becoming a member of the club, now's a really fun time to join. And it's a month-to-month commitment, so if you're not loving what we're putting out, you can always cancel, but we hope that you'll love it.
Yeah.
And again, you can join the GG VIP Club at patreon.com slash Golden Girls Podcast.
And can I just thank everyone for the people who have joined? But also, too, I mean, if you just want, we'll be posting lots of stuff there that isn't necessarily going exclusively to the paid members of the Patreon. So you should just go. You can sign up for free as well and just sort of, you know, follow along so you get notifications of the things that we post, because you never know what we might drop on that little Patreon feed. Well, we might be dropping everything on that Patreon feed. So go on over there.
We may drop our pants.
Yes. I mean, it's Patreon. It's not adult friendly, but I mean, some people probably do it that way. I don't know. And I'm so under the influence right now of this cove that you could get me to do probably pretty much anything at this point. But I'm just so glad that everyone that came over, and I'm particularly glad too, I was very touched and surprised because there's an option for an annual membership, and there were quite a few people who opted for that, and it really validates the work that we do, because, you know, you're committed to us and we're committed to you, and we really thank you for making that commitment and supporting this podcast, because it means a lot to us to be able to keep it going and keep us doing what we love doing.
We're married now, guys.
I mean, this is a forever commitment. Well, by forever, I mean for at least a year.
For at least a year.
Yeah.
When you said this cove for COVID, I heard that repeated in my brain to Faith Hill singing This Kiss, but it was This Cove, This Cove, This Cove.
That song is so bad good. So bad
good. So bad good. Wait, speaking of singing, very quickly, before we get into the Golden Compilations, I'm the one that's going to go on a tangent.
Ooh.
I was trying to find an old episode of our podcast because I had to reference something, and I came across a comment that somebody left, and it made me laugh so hard. They left this recently, so I'm assuming they're listening. This person left us 3 out of 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.
I love a bad review. Well, that's not really bad. That's a mediocre review.
The title is entertaining enough, I guess. This is what it says. I really like this podcast and have been listening for years. Okay. Carrie, OMG. She talks like she's Lorelai Gilmore, a million words a minute, talking like she's always in a panic or a rush, not to mention the singing and the horrible accents. I'll probably keep listening, though. It helps the time pass at work. Good job, guys.
Okay, let me just say right now, and we are not poking fun at that commenter at all. I mean, listen. You know how I say things off the cuff, and things come out of my mouth sometimes that, like, what is she talking about? And I love when you gave us that review, and I'm actually very grateful for it. You know what I mean? Like, why not? Like, tell us how you're feeling in a moment. And you know what? You might leave another review someday being like, you know what? I'm okay with Carrie's singing, actually. Unless she was talking about my singing. They were talking about my singing. I don't know.
No, just mine. Mine. And I never watched Gilmore Girls, but I understand. But, like, yes, as somebody with ADHD, I talk really fast. I've talked really fast since I was a little kid. My brain works a mile a minute.
I'm just shocked that you never watched the Gilmore Girls.
Here's one thing, I'm glad that despite these things that this person finds annoying, which you are everybody can have their own opinions.
Yeah.
I might be annoying to a lot of people, and it doesn't bother me because you know what? I can't control how other people think. I can only control how I respond to things, how I react to things. It really doesn't bother me.
Probably
what
don't...
I love, though, is that despite these things, this person is like, but great job. I'm still going to listen.
Yeah. I mean, they probably don't find you annoying. It's just sort of like, you know, with all of our best friends, you know what I mean? We talk shit about our friends all the time. And
oh, I don't care.
We're friends. We're friends.
I honestly will defend my Blanche. I do think I do a good Blanche.
You do a good
that's
Blanche.
That's the one thing
I will
I'm going to defend.
That. Also,
but
I will say.
If you think my Blanche is shitty, that's fine.
If we dig deep into the comments, you'll see that, like, I am probably the more hated of the two of us than.
Yes, you are. For
sure. I am for sure.
Yeah. No, which, I know you are.
Which I am totally 1000% fine with. You can hate me, just keep listening, baby, because I know you am. I see the numbers.
All right, so before we get into our Rose St. Olaf stories, I just want to talk about Rose's St. Olaf stories as like a staple on the show, right?
Yeah.
I think, you know,
well, you
the
know
Golden
my
Girls,
you know my opinion on the stories. Like, you know that it is probably one of my least favorite bits on The Golden Girls. And it's controversial for me to say that. And I know that when we were at Golden Con, I said that. People kind of freaked out a little bit. I don't.
I mean, tomatoes, I believe, were thrown.
Yes. I don't I don't necessarily care for the St. Olaf stories. Some of them, sure, but sometimes I'm just like, they're filler. Controversial opinion, I know.
Yes, and again, just like you are entitled to your opinion.
Yeah.
Your opinion is yours. Rose Nylund cannot change the way you feel. And no. I don't think it would bother Rose Nylund.
No.
Actually, no, we know it would because she hates when people hate her.
It's true.
I love the St. Olaf stories. I feel like I've always said they're like a Mad Lib of fun farm animals and weird Scandinavian names. And I love that they were a staple on the show, just like Sophia's Picture It stories. Because if you think of it, back then, I feel like most sitcom characters had catchphrases. Now, listener, we were just referring to Block Your Ears. Sitcom characters had catchphrases, right? Did I do that? You know, not the mama. How you doing?
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I do a great baby from the dinosaurs.
Oh, I know. You've done it. Please do it again. You've done it.
Well, I don't know if I can do it in this with my situation, but.
Oh, because you have the
hold
cove.
On. Let me try. Yeah. Let me try.
Not the mama. That was really good.
Thank you. That hurt, though. Michael's going to bring me a cough drop because I need it badly.
Yeah. Take a Ricola.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, here, you pop it. Suck on that for a second.
Yeah, you go ahead.
I will. So, you know, there were so many catchphrases in these popular shows in the 80s and 90s. These women had running bits. Mm-hmm. And I love that. It wasn't just that, oh, I have a catchphrase and I know if I just say my catchphrase and it doesn't really matter when or where and it's going to be funny. But these were running bits. Mm-hmm. Rose was always going to tell a St. Olaf story. And it's, you know, you've got to do more writing for that. You can't just, you know, toss a catchphrase in. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love the bits. I love the St. Olaf stories. So we picked our top eight. There are so many St. Olaf stories.
So
some
many.
Of them are short. Some of them are long. It was hard to pick the top eight because I think most of them are pretty great. But I feel like we covered a nice variety.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't play, you know, some of the clips in full because they would just be too long because St. Olaf stories are long. But you guys know these stories. You're obsessed with them just like we are. And I think that's all I had to really say for my intro about St. Olaf stories. Should we take a break and then jump right in?
Let's do it. I'm ready. Let's get cozy in Minnesota this episode.
Yeah. And we're back. And we're talking about Rose's best St. Olaf stories on The Golden Girls. And these are in no particular order. But coming in at number one is Butter Queen.
Butter Queen. Bitter Butter Queen.
Bitter Butter Memories. So Rose, obviously, she tells a lot of St. Olaf stories. I have to say, this one is probably the hardest one for her to tell because it's one of the biggest disappointments she's ever faced, which was losing the title of Butter Queen.
Yeah.
Should we play the clip?
We should. Let's play it, baby.
That evening, butter was spelled R-O-S-E.
Rose, you're embarrassing yourself. Please don't go on.
I have to, Dorothy. I've kept these bitter butter memories too long. As the pageant drew to its frenzied finale, there I was, alongside the other two finalists, churning my guts out. And all of a sudden, for no apparent reason, my churn jammed. Yes! And just like that, it was over. I'd lost. It was the biggest disappointment in my life. It was small consolation to find out years later there had been churn tampering involved.
I can't even make fun noises without coughing. It's fine. It's fine.
You sound like, I feel like, yeah, it's in the flu episode where Dorothy, she tries to like laugh and she starts coughing.
Yeah, that's me.
First of all, I love the way this story starts where she's like, you know, that was the biggest disappointment. And Dorothy says, you're not going to tell us another story about an exploding pig, are you? She goes, I never told you a story about an exploding pig. It was a peg-legged pig. It was our possum that exploded. I love it when Rose tells like these bits about St. Olaf and it's always like, I didn't tell you that. And it's always something weirder. I always love that, like, set up for a joke.
Yeah.
I also have a theory about Rose's bitter Butter Queen memories.
Mm-hmm.
So we know Rose is super competitive. We also know she has the ability to stay awake all night to work. Remember when she was, like, testing products for Enrique Mas?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, her hand was in the water.
In the water.
Yeah.
I think Rose pulled an all-nighter on her churning and studying up on her butter trivia.
Fascinating.
And I think she was so worried that she might lose that in like a tired fugue state, she tried to tamper someone else's butter churner and accidentally tampered her own and then forgot because she was on zero sleep. And then, you know, here
we
are.
Do you churn like with a thing? Like a, this is, anyone watching on the Patreon video can see me doing a very inappropriate expression right now.
It's, but well,
is it like
it's
a churning?
Or it's,
is
this.
It, but or because I saw recently on an episode of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City that they just put it in a like a canister and just sort of shook the canister like, you know, like a like you would like a like you're shaking a protein shake or something.
Well, maybe with advancements in technology, but I remember like I think it's I'm picturing like a plunger in a toy, but you're both hands and there I think there's like a circular motion like you're stirring the pot maybe that's how you
I don't know if that's actually an advancement in technology. To me, shaking like a protein shake is actually more efficient for a home use, you know what I mean? Just shake it up and put it in the fridge, you know?
Yeah, maybe if you're making smaller batches of butter.
Yeah, true. I mean, I don't know, I've never made butter before. I only buy butter at the store.
I've never made butter either.
Babe.
Okay, moving on.
Which one of us has COVID?
You're doing so great. I'm sure everybody appreciates that you are so committed to the Golden Girls in this audience. Because I kept texting you. I was like, are you sure?
Babe? I'm fine. Babe?
Yeah, are you sure? And you're like, I'm fine. I want to do it.
Yeah.
All right. Number two. Turning on the hose. Let's play the clip.
Sounded inappropriate.
Same thing happened to the Big Botters back in St. Olaf. You see, Gretchen had this thing for Buddy, but Mr. Big Botter didn't approve. He did his best to keep them apart, but one day he came home early and he found Gretchen and Buddy in, how will I say it, a most indelicate situation.
Mm. What did he do?
Well, he yelled at them to stop, but they wouldn't, so he turned the hose on them.
He turned the hose on them?
Well, they were in the front yard.
Wait a minute, Rose. Buddy and Gretchen weren't people, were they?
Of course not. They were dogs. Gretchen was a Dalmatian and Buddy was a Schnauzer. And Mr. Big Butter wasn't too happy when he ended up with a litter of Schnalmatians.
I wonder what that would look like, a Schnalmation.
A Schnalmation?
Like, what's a Schnauzer look like? I don't know. I'm going to look that up. Schnauzer.
I think, isn't a Schnauzer, I'm picturing like an Irish or a Scottish Terrier. Is that what a Schnauzer looks like?
They're kind of like the ugly one. No offense to anyone who has a Schnauzer. They have like the beards and the sort of, I mean, they're cute, I'm sure. And I'm sure they're lovable as all hell.
They do look cute.
But I can't imagine a Dalmatian and
a
Schnauzer.
Let's look up a Schnauzer Dalmatian.
Oh, you can do that.
Schnauzer Dalmatian mix.
Wow, I didn't even think
you could
do that.
Oh my gosh, they're so cute.
Oh, they actually are adorable. Oh my God, those ears.
Everybody,
if anyone could see, do it right now. Do it right now. Stop what you're doing. If you're driving, pull to the side of the road and Google Schnauzer dog Dalmatian.
Put your child down and pick up your phone and let them run wild because this is the cutest thing I've ever seen. Oh, I'm so glad you posed that question. I'm leaving this tab open on my computer because I have to show Stan.
Yes.
That is very, very cute.
That
made my night. I'm gonna try to find a high-res version to make it my desktop.
Here I was shitting on the Schnalmation, and it actually turns out they are
a
Schnauzer.
So
Schnauzer on its own, not cute. Schnauzer with a Dalmatian, adorable.
So cute. I also love at the end of the scene when Blanche is so pissed. I always love it when you just see Blanche and Dorothy, like their souls leave their bodies and they just deflate when Rose tells these stories. And I love it. Blanche is like, you know, Rose, I wish someone had turned the hose on your parents. I love St. Olaf stories where you think Rose is talking about a person, but she's talking about an animal or vice versa. Yes. I think there's another story where she's talking about how, like, Bessie couldn't pull the tractor anymore, and the women assume Bessie's a mule, but Bessie's a woman.
Is where something explodes, like a rat or something explodes because of something.
They try to mate.
Yes, my brain is going. It went in a sex direction, and then I was like, "Wait, is that accurate? I don't know." If that's
yes, true. I believe it was a mouse, and I forget the other animal, but they tried to mate.
It's one of my favorites. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun one. Okay, in at number three, we're calling this one "Conceived on Saint Olaf Holidays." Ooh.
Children were conceived on special St. Olaf holidays. Adam was conceived on the day of the Princess Pig when they had the pig crowning. And Janella was conceived on Hay Day. Mm. That's the day we St. Olafians celebrate hay.
Rose, do you think you could wrap this up before Rebecca goes into labor?
Then there was the day of the wheat when everybody came to town dressed as sandwiches. Charlie and I forgot to put cheese between us, and before I knew it, there was Kirsten.
Did your hometown have any sort of special holidays just for your hometown?
We didn't have special holidays, but because my town has a lot of cranberry bogs and we produce a lot of cranberries, we would have a cranberry festival every year.
Oh, interesting.
And I know people sold like cranberry breads and different things. And I think maybe there was somebody dressed as a giant cranberry. I don't think there was a parade, but I think that was it. How about you?
Yeah, my hometown we kind of co-opt actual holidays and make them more of our own thing, like with Thanksgiving because of the football game. And it's like a big deal in my hometown. So there's like a 3-day lead up to it with a chili cook-off and a parade and like a bonfire. And it's like a whole thing. But similarly, we have a festival called the Green Tree Festival or something. Kirkwood, Missouri. Look it up. I don't know if you are that interested, but it's a weird like 3-day festival where they sell shit, really, just knickknacks and like wood carving shit and leather belts and like things that you just don't need, and you could go to Zara, you know. And and then the other
side, Zara's in Kirkwood, Missouri.
They do have a Zara, and well, it's in the mall in the city, but yes, you can go. It's not far, it's a suburb, it's not like we're living in the middle of nowhere here. And then on the other side of the festival, they have like a it's not Renaissance, it's like old timey. So it's like the churning of the butter, and you get the whole like melting the candles, and you can do the whole things or whatever. It always felt uncomfortable for me, if I was to be completely honest. I would go there and I would get the funnel cake, and then I would be like, it's time to leave.
I came for what I needed to come here for.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am curious to know, I wish that more stories took place in St. Olaf. I think because I want to see what the Day of the Princess Pig looks like. This is where just think, like, as writers, you could come up with a million different holidays, and then it would be fun to go through and pick the best ones for the script. The Day of the Princess Pig makes me laugh so hard. I love the Day of the Wheat, just because Betty White, the way she says it. I do think there is one St. Olaf story, the only one that actually ever took place in St. Olaf. It was when she told the story of she stopped over somewhere. Was that in St. Olaf? She was in the bus station. It was like she was telling a St. Olaf story, and it was a flashback. But maybe she was in St. Gustav. I forget. But that's the only time I think in a story we actually got a flashback. Not to be confused with the times that they've actually visited.
Yeah.
And we saw them on like the plane and you know, on the horse and the buggies and stuff.
Yeah.
I also, the visual of Rose and Charlie naked inside a sandwich costume, or even like a cutout that somebody would wear like in front of a diner.
I have to admit, it's kind of hot.
I think it is too.
There is something kind of hot about it. The whole thing is kind of hot. Like, I don't know I hope there's no like mayonnaise involved because they're outside and that could become very.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think it's a real sandwich.
But maybe the mayonnaise served as a lubricant. I don't know. Like, there's like so many different elements of the sandwich thing that I have questions about. But regardless, fundamentally, I think it is hot.
I don't think that it was an accident. I know she went like, and then whoops, there was Kirsten. Because we know that Charlie and Rose had sex at least twice a day. once in the morning, once after dinner.
Which
and maybe they missed their morning sex because they were putting together their sandwich costume. So they had to make up for it. Maybe they just couldn't help themselves during the parade.
Can you imagine that kind of life? I can't, actually. And I'm a freak.
As someone with a child,
yeah, I know.
I'm so exhausted.
I don't even have a kid. I don't have a kid. I have a cat.
Well, Fraser is like your kid.
I mean, yeah, the kid sleeps all day. So it was basically my childhood.
I can't imagine having sex twice a day.
Sound off in the comments for this episode, y'all.
Married couple.
What's your number? What's your number
What's
per day?
What's your number?
Per day. Per day. Average it. Go through your week. Average it. Because it's probably going to be a 0.01 there.
Yeah,
I think.
0 point something. Probably for most of us. And that's fine. That's
fine,
everybody.
It's just watch the Golden Girls.
Just watch the Golden Girls. All right. We're moving on. Coming in at number 4, Dorothy tells a St. Olaf story. Now, to set this up, this is the episode where in Mary Had a Little Lamb, where Dorothy is actually talking to Mary's dad. And I thought this was a really fun take on the St. Olaf story scene. Let's play it.
I've never heard of a little town called St. Olaf.
No.
Perfect. Now, as it was told to me, and I have to admit that I wasn't listening that closely, there was this farmer named Niels Niblung, and he had a pig named Brunhilde, and she won all the blue ribbons at all the county fairs. Well, Niels also had a daughter named Fricka, and she won red ribbons, usually as runner-up to the pig.
Does this story have a point?
You asked that at just the right time. Anyway, one April, Niels decided to breed Brunhilde. That's the pig, not the daughter. And he chose April because that's when pigs are at their most beautiful and desirable. Unfortunately, so was Fricka. So while Brunhilde and the pig were doing their thing, Fricka and the local pig breeder were doing theirs. God, I hope I got the names right.
Did you know? I mean, pigs are at their most beautiful in April. That says a lot about, you know, my history.
No.
Because I feel like
that's
I look
not
good.
Where I thought you were going with that.
I feel like I look pretty good in the spring. I have a spring tone to me, my skin tone, you know.
Yeah, you've gotten a little bit of sun. You've got that glow.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, look great in April.
Do you think that's when baby was delivered? Was baby delivered in April?
Oh, no. Because
the women's house.
Baby was sick. Baby
That's
was
right.
delivered
baby
in
was
November.
Sick.
You know, baby was at the peak ugly. I mean,
you know, those women loved having a pig on set and they all pet the pig.
Oh, yeah.
And any crew member who made
too.
A bacon joke, they were like, no.
No. I can just see B just being like, get out.
She's
out.
Just barefoot walking the pig.
Get out.
Across the stage.
B, there might be nails on the floor. I don't care. Get out.
I don't care. Get out. Did you, when you watched this scene, was B looking at cue cards for the story? Did you notice?
No, I did not notice that. So, and usually I keep an eye out for that. But I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
I couldn't tell because they only showed like a single shot of B and then a single shot of the guy. And so I couldn't really tell if her eyeline was looking at him or not. But for a minute, I was like, she could have been reading cue cards for that story.
I could see it. Totally.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I thought that one was a fun one because it is technically a St. Olaf story. And I just love the name Fricka. Like, these names,
they're so good.
Funny.
Wait, before we get into more, we really should take a break and then come back.
Okay. Yes, all right.
Let's take a break. I need more St. Olaf.
And maybe more Ricolas, too.
I need that, too. Definitely.
And we are back and coming in at number 5. So perfect coming off of a break. Birthday spankings. Mm-hmm. Now, to set this up, in this moment, in the scene, Rose has just said she hasn't been this scared since 1952 when St. Olaf's most active volcano threatened to erupt. And now let's play the scene.
Luckily, there were some druid priests who were in town for the opening of Stonehenge Land. They said they could stop it if they could sacrifice the town's dumbest virgin. I don't know why I raised my hand. It must have just been the excitement of the moment. But they said the only way to prevent the eruption was for me to crawl through their legs up the volcano while they gave me my birthday wax. Well, and you're not going to believe this. It turns out they weren't druid priests at all. Just a bunch of Shriners looking for a good time.
Okay, now we really need to call this what it is. And even though it is very funny, it also... Rose is describing a sexual assault. I mean, Rose is describing a moment in her life where she was taken advantage of.
Yes, this is Rose and the dentist all over again.
Yes. It's
quite unfortunate. Yes. What's a Shriner?
Yeah, my grandpa was a Shriner. I don't know. It doesn't have anything to do with a cult, I don't think. Or maybe it does. I don't know. But it's basically old men getting together to, like, drink cheap things and not have their wives around. And then they get in little cars and they drive them around in parades and wear funny hats. And they also do a lot of charitable good, too, I've heard as well.
I mean, clearly not these ones.
No, these ones were not out for charity. They were out for selfish measures. But I think they also do a lot of, like, things for children's hospitals and stuff. I don't know. But my grandpa was one, and I can tell you, my grandpa was a dick and didn't do anything charitable once in his life. So I think he was just there for the beer.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. I also know this is going to be another, like, Rosetta Stone situation where we maybe look really dumb. But I Googled, does Minnesota have volcanoes? Because I thought, well, surely it doesn't.
No.
I was surprised.
Does it?
Well, sort of. I was surprised to learn, yes, Minnesota once had active volcanoes.
Really?
It was 18 million years ago.
Oh, well, like the rest of the world then, I guess,
yeah.
Right?
Cause, like, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, the volcano part of the story always struck me as odd because volcanoes don't seem to fit in anywhere with what we know about St. Olaf. We hear about farms and fountains,
yeah,
and herring and cows and chickens, but never volcanoes. So when she's telling me this story and I'm picturing St. Olaf as like Joe versus the volcano.
What a movie.
I became very confused.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, maybe this was just like a fever dream that Rose had, you know, like when she didn't know if she wanted to marry Dr. Jonathan Newman, and maybe it didn't happen to her. And if it didn't, that would actually be great if she just imagined the whole thing. It is weird that nobody asks anything about, are there volcanoes in Minnesota? I mean,
well,
I guess the women never want to ask follow-up questions because it just
after
prolongs
you hear,
the story.
After you hear so many St. Olaf stories, you know the protocol. Don't engage. Step away, you know?
She does tell one story that's about like lore and fantasy, and that's the one about Tunder the mediocre tiger. I hate that I know all these. This one was wild.
Yeah.
So there apparently were volcanoes in St. Olaf not very long
18
ago.
Million years ago. Not very
18
long
million
ago.
Years ago.
Wow. If only I lived 18 million years.
Well, that I mean, I'd be like, your skin looks even more amazing than it usually does if it's aged that much, if it's seen that much.
Can we just say our first subscriber on Patreon commented on our skin and how beautiful our skin looks? And I just have to say, they made my day. They made my day. This aging skin looks supple and beautiful to you. I am surprised.
I know. And this person also asked what our skincare routines were. Do you want to share what yours is in case? I feel like that's not something we should keep behind a paywall.
No, not at all. I think lots of water, Kiehl's Ultra Moisturizer Face Cream. I live by it. And a healthy, you know, dose of Mr. Burt Reynolds. You can take that however you want. However I'm getting my Mr. Burt Reynolds is how I'm getting it. Thank you.
My routine is that my child has very sticky fingers and she puts them on my face all the time. So whatever is on a child's fingers.
Just rub it in. Moisturize.
It ends up on my face and it moisturizes it, I guess. I guess also SPF. Yeah. Okay. This next one is, these are two of my favorite words that I have ever heard put together before. And that's coming in at number six, which is obstetrician magician. Let's play it.
I was actually able to deceive me once. Do tell, Rose. St. Olaf's most famous OBMAG.
What's that?
Obstetrician magician. The amazing Shapiro. He delivered Bridget. But it was so confusing. I mean, it's a girl. Now it's a dove. Now it's a glass of milk. I don't know how he got her in that deck of cards. But there she was, right after the King of Hearts. Is this your baby?
Magicians. You know, there was that great documentary a couple years ago of this one magician who, he made it his life goal to like call out these magicians that were lying about, like they were saying that they could do crazy things like bend spoons and stuff, and they like had these special powers, and he was like, no, you're a magician, that's what you are, that's what you're doing. And he would go on like the Tonight Show and like disprove them. Fascinating documentary. I definitely highly recommend it. I forget what it's called now, but just Google magician debunking stuff.
Yeah, that's interesting. What you said reminds me of two different things, which is one, do you remember there was that guy in the 90s who did Greatest Magic Secrets Revealed? And it was a magician with a mask because he didn't want anybody to know who he was. And he revealed how really big stage tricks are done. And the magic community, they were pissed at him. Because he was making these TV specials and showing the world how these very famous magic specials were done. Greatest Magic Secrets Revealed. They finally figured out who it was, and he did a couple of them. And I used to watch them as a kid, and I was fascinated.
Interesting. That's fascinating.
That's not, I don't think, what you're talking about.
Very similar. It's very similar to what I'm talking about.
It's similar. I also know that there was a magician who, I believe, was a mentalist, and he doesn't believe in psychics and mediums. He thinks they're all grifters who are just really good at cold reading people and everything. And he has like a test where he's like, if you're really a psychic and you can pass this test, I'll give you $1 million. And no psychic has ever been able to pass it. And you could argue, well, it's because psychics aren't real. You could argue, oh, well, it's because psychics don't have that much control over their power, however you want to believe it. But I also thought that was really interesting.
So I looked it up. I had to now share it. The magician's name is James Randi. And it was famous for calling out Uri Geller, who's a illusionist, he likes to call himself, I think. And the doc is called An Honest Liar. It was so good. I highly recommend
it. Oh, I'd like to watch that.
Yeah, it was so good. Such a good little doc.
As I was writing out like sort of my thoughts for this clip, I was like, oh, there's something so silly about imagining a magician delivering your baby. Haha, so silly. And then I realized, well, not that I realized, but my father-in-law is a magician.
Whoa.
And he also used to work at a hospital. And
like
he
professionally?
Has helped...
He's professionally a magician?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. He doesn't like... I'll finish and then I'll tell you. Stan's gonna kill me. But my father-in-law also used to work at a hospital, and he's helped deliver babies. So he is
with
technically
magic?
A magician who has helped deliver babies. He does magic for little Oreo, and she loves it. She does magic too. She hides a little piece of paper in her hand and holds them out and goes, "Which hand?" It's really cute.
Oh, wow. I can. My only magic trick that I can do is when like I'm holding like a cookie and I'm like, you see it? And then I put it in my mouth.
You just cookie monster it. Nom, 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 nom.
I don't even have to do that. It's just like I'm like a cat. You know what I mean? Just like swallow it.
Just one gulp.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Like Garfield.
It's gone. Yeah.
It's gone. And poof. Yeah. It's gone.
And poof. And poof.
Stan, growing up, so his dad started doing magic when he was like 14. Mm-hmm. And when he met Stan's mom, she became his assistant, and then they got married, and then they used to do magic and tour together.
Oh my God, I love this.
And then when they had kids, They had two boys. They folded them into the magic act. They were a traveling family. Yep. Traveling family magic act in New Jersey.
Text me.
They would do bar mitzvahs. They would do so many. They would do so many shows. They did a show. They did a Christmas party at a fire station, and my father-in-law loaded like too much powder in the little like stick that shoots out a burst of a pop of flame, and he accidentally set their Christmas tree on fire at the fire station.
Good place to do it.
Another time they were doing a show like on Easter at a church and one of his doves escaped up into the rafters and took a shit on the statue of Jesus and they were never invited back. Yes, I have pictures. I have stories.
I need to see
we
the
sold
pictures.
It as a television show.
I need
and
to
then
see
it
the
never
pictures.
Went, but we sold it.
I love that.
So anyway, yes, I have. And then before I started dating Stan, my last boyfriend was also a magician.
Wait, do I know him? I don't think I know that last boyfriend.
You don't know him. He's a mentalist. He used to go on tour with Darren Brown, who's a big mentalist, especially for you UK listeners. He used to tour with Darren Brown.
Wow.
So I went over to the UK and saw a couple of the shows in Scotland and then one in Birmingham, England.
Wow.
So I don't know. It is weird. And also Stan and my last boyfriend, they have the same name.
Wow. Okay. I think you're revealing too much information now. I think you need to pull yourself back a little bit.
I need to. Yeah.
Because anyway. now I want to know if they ever did magic in the bedroom, the jokes that you made from that. Like there are so many, like my brain is going down a domino situation here. So let's move on to the next clip.
We'll talk offline about that. Yes. Okay. Moving on to number 7. Now, before we get to this story, Rose doesn't ever actually say the words St. Olaf in this story. But based on the name of the character she mentions, I'm going to assume it's St. Olaf related. Mm-hmm. And yes, I also put this in here because it's one of my favorite Rose and Dorothy moments on the show. And that moment is, that's what the crow said.
If my foot wasn't asleep, I wouldn't ask this. What exactly was it Sonia told her mama?
The joke between the two crows. I knew you'd beg to hear it.
But get out. But get out.
Are you all right, honey?
Wonderful, wonderful. I always wanted to have a nose like Joe Frazier.
Ma, how long were you listening at the door?
I wasn't listening at the door.
Oh, then why was your face pressed against the crack?
That's what the crow said.
Get out!
I mean, it's perfect. It's just perfect.
And I think the name of the comic strip was Sonia. It was Sonia. Was it Klingenhopper? Klingenhopper? I forget. I wrote it down. But that's where I was. I made the connection. I assumed it was a local comic strip in the St. Olaf paper, which to me means it's technically a St. Olaf story. There was something, and obviously we couldn't play all of it because it's too long, but again, you all know it. There is something so unique about this joke to me because it doesn't feel like a traditional kind of setup and punchline. It's like a weird phantom callback.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and
because
it's
we don't know what the callback, like we don't know what she's calling back to, but we know that she was trying to tell the story.
Yes. So there's that element of it, and also you think that we've moved on, and now and it's not going to be addressed anymore. We've moved on with the episode and the conversation, and the fact that it comes back, and you know, and then Rose, that's what the crow said. Her delivery is perfect. Dorothy's get out and the timing of it and the tone of it
is
so perfect.
The way she yells is so perfect. I mean, it's great.
I would have killed to be in the audience for the taping of that episode. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess of any episode really, but
because they're doing kind of like a verbal dance in a way. And it's just and the way they're even like, it's not just like line delivery and then line delivery. It's line delivery on top of line delivery. But it needs to be synced in such a way that like it's just perfect. And they did it perfectly.
Mm-hmm. It feels like a really. Yeah, it just it's like a it is. It's like a beautiful dance.
Yeah.
So if you could have been in the audience for the taping of any episode, do you know what episode you would have wanted to be in the audience for?
Oh, that's a hard one. Because I'd want to say like the last episode for memories. But part of me also feels like I would have loved to have been in the episode for image consultants. I don't know why. I love that episode, and I feel like it would have been a doozy. You know, it would have been like a, where are we now?
Goodbye, Mr. Gordon.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. What about you?
I think I would want to be in the audience for a little romance.
I mean, that one would have been great. It would have been great. But I feel like it's too easy to go in that direction. Like, you want to go, because, like, when you're going to see a, I mean, just, you know, behind the curtain of Hollywood here, when you're going to see a show, you don't really have a choice of sort of, like, you know, where you can go. So, like, part of me is, like, I feel like I would get the most random of Golden Girls episodes. So if I'm going to get a random one, I want one that's kind of, like, weird and random, like image consultants, you know?
Sure. And yeah. Also, there's something fun about being in the studio audience while watching Sophia be in the studio audience.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's sort of a hat on a hat.
Yeah.
I think I'd want to be in the audience for a little romance because I think, and I know I always say the case of the Libertine Belle is my favorite episode, which I think it still is, but for a little romance, I know that episode so well that I'd be so curious to see if there were certain moments that were done differently and then they got direction and landed where they were. Like, I would just be so interested to see that episode come together, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah. All right. And
we're at our last one.
I know. Okay. Finally, at number 8, The Great Herring War. Mm-hmm. This is a long story. So remember to set it up. It was the Great Herring War. It was between the Lindstroms and the Johansons. What do they do with the herring? You know, do they pickle them? Do they train them for the circus? They couldn't decide. Before we play the clip, this technically isn't a St. Olaf story because it's about Rose's ancestors. It takes place in Norway. But we're including it because it was the first long story that Rose told on the show that really set the tone for her long-winded, ridiculous St. Olaf stories for the rest of the series. This one was told on the season one finale, The Way We Met. I think she maybe only told, correct me if I'm wrong, anyone, I think she may have only told one other St. Olaf story in the first season, I think in Adult Education, the story about the soda jerk. But to me, this was the first story that really felt like a Rose Nyland St. Olaf story.
Tell me, Rose. Did they ever shoot a herring out of a cannon? Only once. But they shot him into a tree. After that, no other herring would do it. Making this up.
I love the guy in the audience who is literally losing his
the cackler. It
My
sounds
favorite.
Like you. It sounds like I think
it
that
does.
I think in another life you were in the audience for that episode.
What if I was? Unsolved Mysteries, 1-800-876-5353.
I beg the listeners to go back and find the episode. I think you've told it in 2 episodes where you solved an unsolved mystery.
You'll just
we'll
have
talk
to go back.
Maybe you'll
maybe
have
it's
to
the
go
mystery.
Back.
Maybe it's the mystery of the Golden Girls podcast. Maybe I'll bring it up again someday. Maybe we'll talk about it on a Rusty Anchor Happy Hour someday. Maybe we'll go in depth in a Rusty Anchor Happy Hour someday.
I do. I feel like every time I hear that story, I have follow-up questions. For those who don't know, H. Allen Scott / Sadie Pines solved an unsolved mysteries episode.
Thank
Legit
you.
Solved it.
Thank you.
So the Great Herring War. I know a lot of people over the years have said they thought that story or parts of that story were improvised because of the genuine laughter coming from the women. And every writer that we've talked to, everyone, the script supervisor, we've talked to so many people on this show was not improvised. Those lines were written. They are just really good actors.
I don't think the girls even felt comfortable improvising, to be honest with you, because, I mean, if you think about it, three of them are theater people. They are dependent on lines. And one of them, Betty White, if anybody could improvise, it would be Betty White. But even her, I don't think she was naturally an improviser.
No. And I think, too, I feel like it was probably a lot less common on sitcoms, especially back then. Even maybe sitcoms today, it's hard to...
It's not like if you're on a scripted show and it's not with a bunch of improvisers, it's not something that's necessarily welcomed.
Yeah, and everybody has to kind of play the game, but especially because I think it doesn't work as well on sitcoms because it is like theater, right? Where if you do it on a single camera show, the way you can sort of edit things together because the way you shoot it is differently, you're able to kind of get away with it a little bit more. But the pacing of a multi-camera sitcom is so very different and is a lot more like theater. And so I don't think it would work, but I really do love that story. I mean, there's so much more of the story. It's, you know, she says that a herring circus is bigger than a flea circus, but smaller than some other kind of circus. And it's just so fun. And
it's so fun. It's so
fun. Yeah. So that's it. Those are our top, you know, St. Olaf stories that Rose
I did
and
it.
Dorothy
I made
told
it through.
On the show. You made it through with the Cove.
Yay.
I think that we should take a break, come back with our golden takeaways. And I think our golden takeaways, if you want, you can maybe pick which of these St. Olaf stories is your favorite.
Oh, I might do that. You know, I might go rogue too. Who knows?
Okay.
And we are back with our golden takeaways, which is a nugget of truth or inspiration that you can apply to your lives or the lives of our listeners. Carrie, what's your golden takeaway from this episode?
So my golden takeaway, which is my favorite St. Olaf story, I think everybody knows. I have to go with That's What the Crow Said.
Yeah.
Because of all the reasons I said. It makes me laugh every time, like it's the first time I've seen it. I also believe that Chris Gallo, if you're listening, hi, Chris. Chris
hi.
Golden Girls Posters, the greatest account. You can get lots
we
of
love,
fun Golden Girls stuff.
We love.
I believe Chris has, I'm almost positive, Chris has a That's What the Crow Said shirt. Mm-hmm. So I will link to it in the show notes if anybody is interested in a That's What the Crow Said shirt, because it's only Golden Girls fans, like hardcore fans are going to get that. And that's pretty fun.
You know that if you wear that to a gay bar on a Friday night and only one person comes up to you, that is the person you need to leave with their number and be best friends with.
I agree.
1,000%. My favorite St. Olaf story from this episode is, it has to be the one about Kirsten and how Kirsten came to be. I mean, just the thought, because I just have a feeling that Charlie was kind of hot. You know what I mean? Like in a, not in like a typical, like stereotypical way. He was hot in sort of like a everyday man kind of way. And the fact that he would get into a sandwich costume naked with his wife. I want to see the video.
Maybe there was a video. Somebody had a camcorder in that parade.
Whatever. I want to see it.
You know, Charlie is also the only husband, dead or ex, that we never saw on the show, because Blanche, we met his brother Jamie, who looked
just like
George
him,
and it was a dream. So that's what George looked like. Obviously Stan, we've seen Sal in flashbacks. So Charlie really could look like whatever you want. Charlie could look like Michael, Dorothy's Michael, if you wanted.
That's true. Or my Michael.
Are your Michael even better?
I love it. I don't know if I'd want to go in the direction of a familiar direction. I want to go in like a different direction. You know what I mean? Like
sure.
I want to go in like a, I was going to say old school Paul Newman, but that's almost too hot. It has to be someone who's basic hot. You know what I mean? Someone who is not typically hot. Do you know, like when we talked with Danny about Paul Giamatti in the Santa suit, like you want someone who shouldn't be hot, but is hot. It's hard.
Mm.
Yeah. Think about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll think about it. You think about it. And for all of you listening at home, I'm dying to know, what is your favorite St. Olaf story? Because yes, I know there were a lot that we didn't have time to cover. So I'm dying to know what everybody else likes. So let us know. Let us know on the socials. And remember to check out the GGVIP Club over at patreon.com.
Let us know there, too. You can
Golden Girls
us there.
Podcast. Yeah. Yes. For those on the Patreon, let us know. And everyone, this has been another episode of Out on the Lanai, and we will catch you back here next week for more Golden Girls greatness.
And guys, we are part of MOM, Moguls of Media, so you go follow them on the socials and follow us on the socials too, at Golden Girls Pod on Twitter, Out on the Lanai Official on Instagram, Golden Girls Pod on Facebook, and I am Sadie Pine / H. Allen Scott on everything.
And I'm Squidzy on Instagram and Squid Eat Squid on Twitter. And if you have a moment, please rate and review us wherever you get this podcast. The more ratings we get, the more reviews we get, the more we'll get bumped up, the more people will discover it and join our lovely kick-ass community of Golden Girls fans.
And as always,
remember,
stay golden!
Stay golden! And please get better. Please get better.
I will.
Out on the Lanai is not endorsed by Whit Thomas Harris Productions, Touchstone Television, Disney, or any of its subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only.
All names, pictures, audio, and video clips of the Golden Girls are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and/or copyright holders.